I started calculating up today, and since God called me to preach, I think I've preached over 100 sermons on Christmas. And when my son asked me if I'd preach, I said, "You bet." What do you preach after that message this morning? I mean, that was good stuff. Well, I'm going to take you to a totally different place about Christmas. I hope it don't blow the theology. And by now, my son's sitting there thinking, "Oh my goodness, what's he going to do?" Christmas. I was raised in a religious family. Mom and Dad both claimed to be Christians, and we went to church all the time. I remember on Christmas, boy, we couldn't wait for Christmas morning because Santa Claus was coming. And it wasn't until I was in grade school, I don't know exactly what point, that I found out that he was Uncle Leslie. And I didn't go out and blow my brains out or nothing. I just, you know, that was life. As a teenager and involved in our church that we went to, they had me go ahead and read they had their play, and they had me read the Christmas story. And so I did, and afterwards we went out and got drunk so that we could celebrate. Christmas was an entirely different thing. It was just fun and games. I got in the military, and after two tours in Vietnam and going over to Spain, Christmas was totally different. But let me back up a little bit. Before that, we had a great time at Christmas. I mean, we had in our military squadrons, we had what we called a Christmas bash. And it was nothing but a knockdown drunk. And that night, I asked my wife to marry me. So Christmas was kind of special for us. I used a beer top for an engagement ring. And 56 years later, we're still making it. But then when I was over in Spain, a missionary come over there and started a church, and one of my military buddies got saved and talked me into going out to Bethel Baptist Church in Rota, Spain. Then Jesus came. Pat the Pirate has a play that he put together called Then Jesus Came. And I could relate to that so much because I was raised in a whole situation like Uncle Billy, if you're ever familiar with that. And how going to church as a lost man, thinking everything is right and thinking, you know, this is what it's all about, having no idea that Jesus came. And that day, I received Christ as my Savior. I realized I was a sinner. I found out that Jesus came and he was born. To save me. Not just for the whole world, but me. And that day, I realized that I needed Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I'd like you to look at Christmas a little different tonight. I want you to turn to Isaiah. Where would you turn in Isaiah to find the Christmas story? Some of you'd turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Some of you'd turn to Isaiah chapter 7. We're not going to either one of them. We're going to Isaiah chapter 49. The Christmas story. When he starts out this chapter, he is writing pretty much to Israel, but he goes beyond Israel. And he relates this whole thing about the Messiah and about what we call Christmas. He says in Isaiah chapter 49, if you'll look with me in verse number 7, we'll start there. Well, look in verse 6. And he said, "It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nations abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee, I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant to the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages." Father in heaven, help us as we look at some of these passages and see how it really and truly relates to Christmas. Lord, I'd read these passages hundreds of times and never saw how you tied them together. Help us tonight to see Jesus high and lifted up, and Lord, that we might worship him in spirit and truth this Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We'll start out here basically with the promise of Christmas. He starts out and he says, "Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel." God identifies himself as the Redeemer. He said, "Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel." He, God, is the Redeemer. And immediately my mind went to John chapter 1 and verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He is the Redeemer. God is the Redeemer. And in verse 14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The Redeemer is God, God in the flesh. It says, "And his Holy One," that's Jesus, Jesus Christ. He'd not come to earth at this time, but he was there. And that's what God refers to. He was in the beginning, John chapter 1, verse 1 says. In the beginning, this same Jesus was here as he pins this down. And he says, "I am the Redeemer, I am God, and my Holy One that is there with me," it says, "to him whom man despiseth." All throughout history, man is despised, they've ridiculed, they've fought against the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. They've done everything they could do to try to destroy him. I think that's what Satan is using to destroy Christmas, is the monetary things we have in America. When you go to Africa, they don't have all this tinsel and stuff like that. You may have a taxi cab that'll have a little bit of tinsel around his mirror, but that, when I got there, that was all you saw. They didn't have the trees, but they would maybe have a few balloons or something like that. They enjoyed Christmas. It was about Christ. But here in America, it's not about the Holy One anymore, and man literally despises Jesus. They go out and have all their parties and they have all their drinking and things like this, which is just absolutely 100% against the Lord Jesus Christ. They despise him. It says, to whom the nation abhorreth. It's talking about Israel here. If you look in Psalm chapter 2 and verse number 2, he says, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. And he goes on. It's so obvious that through history, not only have man despised the Lord Jesus, but the nations itself, the nation of Israel, hates anything about Jesus Christ. Try to go in as a missionary and let them know you're a missionary in Israel. It's not going to happen. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. Notice he goes on and he says, to a servant of rulers. Why would he say a servant of rulers? Pastor alluded to this morning, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7. He took upon himself the form of a servant. He was made like unto man and become obedient as a servant even to death, the death on the cross. It says, kings shall see and arise. Where would kings see and arise? His birth was not done in secret. Herod knew all about it. As the wise men come and they're putting the word out to all Jerusalem and that whole area around there, where's this king born? And they knew, and all of the people, when he comes, not only did he have the Herod, but you had all the prophets when he asked the priest, well, what is he talking about here? And the priest read the prophets. And they said, we know what he's talking about, and this is where he's supposed to be born and all of this. It wasn't done in secret. Then the shepherds, when the angels come to the shepherds and begin to sing and rejoicing over the birth of Jesus Christ, the shepherds went out, and it says they went to all these homes all the way around telling everybody that the Messiah had come, that Jesus was born. A few days later, they take him into the temple, and you have Anna and Simeon to holding him up and saying, look, right in the middle of the temple, he said, this is the Messiah. Now lettest thy servant depart in peace, for I have seen thy salvation. Anna comes in and testifies. Look, this wasn't done in secret. The kings shall see and arise, and princes shall also shall worship. The word worship here is not what we call worship as we're doing tonight. The word worship here is that of giving honor. It has nothing to do with religious worship. They'll give honor to him. Have you ever noted, what's this year? It's what? 2025 what? A.D. and B.C.? What's that all about? It's talking going all the way back to the birth of Jesus Christ. They honored Jesus Christ so much that the entire world set their calendar by his birth. You go on and you talk about Christmas. The whole world celebrates Christmas. There's a few countries the Muslim countries that don't, but they usually take it off as a holiday so they can party and they can eat a lot. But everybody knows about Christmas. And that's why he said the princes also shall worship. They'll honor him. Why? Because of the Lord that is faithful. The Lord did exactly what he promised. The Lord is faithful. Remember that when you think God has forsaken you. Remember that when problems come and when trials come and when your health breaks down or when your finances, when you're bankrupt or whatever, remember that the Lord is faithful. And because he's faithful, exactly what he's talking about would come to pass. He says, and the Holy One of Israel, that's Jesus, says, and he shall choose thee. Jesus was chosen by God. Man didn't decide who was going to be the Messiah. Man didn't decide who was going to be the ruler. He was chosen by the Father, by God Almighty, and he shall choose thee, what? To save the world. He chose him to be the Savior, not man. There's no man that could do it. It was only Jesus Christ. In verse number 8, he says, thus saith the Lord. He's getting down to brass tacks now. Now he's saying, look, I want you to listen to something, not because Isaiah says something, but God himself is saying this. Thus saith the Lord. You've got the word of God on this. This is God's promise. When is this going to take place? And I hear people talk, read this verse, and they use it, and I'm not against that, but they take it out of context. Most of us in this church have taken it out of context. Watch this. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time. In an acceptable time. This is future. He said this is going to happen in the future, and acceptable time. This is not when we decide that it's good for this Messiah to come. This is when God decides what is an acceptable time. This was, as Pastor said this morning, this was 700 years later that this prophecy was fulfilled. 700 years. Now, if I was back in those days, I would have wanted to be filled next week or next month or at least this year. But God says in an acceptable time, when the time is absolutely perfect, when it is right, not by man's standards, but by my standard, God says. Now watch this. I have heard thee. I've heard thee. Who's talking here? God says about Jesus Christ, I have heard thee. Jesus Christ is praying to the Father and saying, God, let me go. They need salvation. I need to go. I need to go and do what the plan is. I need to be there. And God said, I've heard your cry. I've heard your prayer. I've heard thee when you've asked to go and fulfill that task of going to the cross. What love. He said, and in a day of salvation, when it's time to redeem mankind, he says, that's that acceptable day. That's when it's going to take place. That day. He said, that day have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee. You say, what would that have to do with Jesus? Listen, if you're a pregnant lady, 9 months pregnant, you don't want to get on the back of a donkey and start riding. And over in Israel, those roads and things, they're not the best. They're not tarmacked. I mean, they don't have blacktop or anything like that. It's not freeway. It's rough. And going all the way down there, and then you go and there's no place to have that baby. There's no place to stay. And he's got to be put into a cave or a stable where they have animals. And what they have there is called disease. And God says, listen, I've helped thee. God said, I'll preserve thee. He said, I've taken care of that disease. It's normally at that time of year about 40 to 50 degrees. You want to have a baby out there in that type of weather? No medicine, no medical things. You're there by yourself, you and your husband. And if my wife's having a baby, she don't want me around, I'll guarantee you. But Joseph must have been pretty good, amen? But then he talks about the gift. He says, I give thee for a covenant to the people. I give thee for a covenant to the people. The covenant here is the promise, the guarantee, the sacrifice, the mediator, the new covenant. The covenant that he would make with mankind for salvation. Every Christian is given this promise. God said, I am going to be the covenant. My son, I'm going to make him the covenant. He is the covenant himself. He is that promised one. He is that one that is going to redeem us. He is our guarantee. You can trust people somehow, but you can't trust them all the way. But he said, you can trust me. And I'm going to give you this covenant as my gift. Isaiah 42 and verse 6 says, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee, and I will give for thee a covenant of the people for a light of the Gentiles. God's covenant was not to the Jew. God's covenant was to the Jew and the Gentile, for the entire world, for us. And notice he says to establish the earth. And the term establish here, it's very interesting. It's the result of an action. He's that covenant, when he comes and he does this, whatever he's supposed to do right on time, he is going to provide everything, the results of the action. He is going to save the earth. He is going to build that earth. That's why the angels, when they come, they said, on earth, peace and goodwill to men. All of this begins to fit together. The salvation of all mankind. That's missions, by the way. I couldn't help but put that in there. Amen. Missions. He said to all the earth, not just to America, not just to us. And he says, how's he going to do this? He says, to cause to inherit the desolate heritage. The word desolate there is amazing. It is just wow. These promises that God is making, the promises that he has put here, the heritage that he has promised of the coming Messiah, it's absolutely amazing. And that's what the whole message about was this morning. I hope you wasn't going to steal my thunder. But the whole thing, it's so amazing. It's miraculous, every part of it. And then the timing is going to be a special time. That's why back in Isaiah, he says an acceptable time. He said it's a day of salvation. When God is ready, that specific time, and he tells us what it is. And some of you may be thinking, he's pulling this thing out of context. That's not what it's talking about. Well, buckle up. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This is that time. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is that acceptable time. It is that perfect timing. This is the fulfillment of that prophecy. He said, I heard thee when you said you want to go, you want to get down there and do the job and save these people. He said, I heard you. And he says, now is this acceptable time. It's not future. He said, now it's here. Now is the day of salvation. Jesus was born exactly at the right time. Now is that time. It's a special day. We call it Christmas. We call it Christmas. The celebration of his birth. He was chosen by God in the right manner by a virgin giving birth in the right place at Bethlehem and for the right purpose for the salvation of the world. And to show that this is in 2 Corinthians is still talking about Isaiah 69 and the fact that it's talking about the birth of Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 tells us this. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. He's talking about Jesus' birth. All of this is talking about the birth, the perfect timing. He says, Paul said, this is that fulfillment of Isaiah 49. In Galatians chapter 4, he says, the fullness of time, 2 Corinthians 6, the time accepted, the accepted time, the day. God's timing for Jesus' birth was perfect. And it was prophesied 700 years before. God's timing is always perfect. And then Jesus came. Not just a promise. He said the timing would be perfect, but now Jesus came. Mankind was lost. Lost in sin. Had absolutely no hope. Condemned. Ever been there? I remember standing in that little old church house over in Rota, Spain. Absolutely hopeless. I had no idea what to do. When I was in Vietnam, I'd picture myself falling into hell. And I went to the chaplain and said, sir, I don't know if I'd committed an unpardonable sin or what, but there's something wrong in my life. And he said, sailor, you're homesick. I walked in there and said, what must I do to be saved? And he said, you're homesick. And I walked out of there just as lost as I walked in. Desperate. No hope whatsoever. And by God's grace, he sent me all the way over to Spain. Where a little old missionary by the name of Eddie Woodfield started a church for military guys. An old drinking buddy of mine talked me into going out to church. And I got out there and heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christmas is about the birth, the day, the time of Jesus' birth. The world's full of ifs. The world's just always full of ifs. What if Harris had taken over the country? She didn't, thank God. What if your parents had not met? But they did, and you got born. What if somebody hadn't given you the gospel? They did, and thank God you listened. What if Jesus had not come? But he did. History's not an if. History are facts. The fact is, God's Son was born just like God promised. Exactly at the right time, he became a man. He left his throne, came to a sin-filled, wicked, dirty, filthy earth. What amazing love. I hope that you, this Christmas, you can wrap yourself around the love that God has for you. And that this is not just another celebration. It's not just another day. It's not just another Christmas. But this Christmas, you really understand just how much God really loved you. For hundreds and hundreds of years before, God prophesied that this was going to happen, and it was going to happen right on time. And thank God somebody gave you the gospel. The purpose that he came was to be the Savior. In verse number 7, he says, the Redeemer of Israel. A Redeemer is there to save people, to redeem them, to buy them back. 2 Corinthians, he talks about salvation in that chapter verse we read. In Galatians, he talked about redeeming them, to buy them back. Every one of those verses deal with the redemption of man. It deals with the perfect timing. It focuses on the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of them. Why does he need to buy us back? Because we can't pay the price. I tried to do good works. I hoped that my good works would outweigh my bad. It doesn't work like that. When you look at how many good works you have compared to all of your sins, and not one sin is taken care of by any good work. So your sins have been mounting up every year, every year, every year, every year, every year, every year. Not one act of kindness can take one sin away. Not one offering to the church or to God or anything can take one sin away. Not one celebration of Christmas can take one sin away. People got this idea, well, if I celebrate Christmas or if I celebrate Easter, then that's going to make me right with God. He's going to be pleased. No, he's not. Well, my parents were Christians. I'm glad they are, but that don't make you one. There's no religious ceremony. There is nothing outside of Jesus Christ that can take one sin away. That's the reason Jesus came and was born. That's the reason why he went through all of these things, so that he could pay for your salvation and my salvation. Celebrating Christmas should be absolutely a time of rejoicing. He has paid the ultimate price. He didn't just give you $1 million. He gave you much more than billions worth. Because if you open your eyes in the lake of fire, you'd give anything. You'd give the whole world just to get out. But there's no price that can be paid outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. The price that he paid, he's the Redeemer. He's buying you back out of that sin-cursed condition. When he says he would be for a covenant to the people, he's fulfilling that covenant of grace. God is a God of grace. He gives us something we don't deserve. We do not deserve the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't deserve his life. We don't deserve him dying on that cross. We deserve nothing but hell ourselves because we're all sinners. But he fulfilled that covenant of grace to establish the earth, he says, not just the land of Israel. He's talking about the world. My wife said, I'm going to leave for a minute this afternoon. She listened to your message, Pastor. And she goes out and starts passing out tracts. We had folks knock on our door last night from our church. And not only did they give us cookies, of which are gone, but they had gospel tracts and invitations to the church. Could you take a few of those tracts? Maybe make a couple cookies. Maybe a piece of pie. I don't care. You know, invite your neighbors over for a cup of coffee. And say, hey, I want to invite you to our church. This is Christmas. By the way, are you a Christian? Why don't you come to the play? I'm not much for peanut butter, but, you know, no, I am really. But, you know, I'd like you to come to this play. They're having one about the peanut butter. And I think, stir their curiosity. Do something. But get off your couch and go out and tell them about this marvelous, this wonderful birth that was prophesied just hundreds of years, thousands of years ago now, but then fulfilled exactly on time the way God said, so that he could redeem not just you, but he can redeem them. And you never know. You say, these people are just hardcore. I remember we had a guy in Spain, and he was just wicked. And when we'd go soul winning, he'd let us get up to the door, just about to the door, and that's when he'd turn Doberman pinchers loose. And I mean, we'd jump fence, we'd do everything to get out of there. And he'd sit up there and laugh. And one night, Ray Mayhew, one of my deacons, he said, I just feel led to go visit him. It's okay. You know what there? And Ray said, I was walking up there, and he said, I'm looking for the Dobermans. I'm just waiting. I'm ready to. And I got up to the door. He said, I knocked on the door. And he opened the door. He said, come on in. And Ray went in there, and a guy that would always turn the Doberman pinchers on us sat down with Ray and put his faith in Jesus Christ. You never know what God is doing in their hearts, and you'll never know unless you go. This is the greatest gift, the greatest story that man has ever heard. And yet we don't share it with others. He wants to cause an inheritance to desolate heritages. God has promised many, many amazing things, and they're all fulfilled through Jesus Christ. How much is religion worth? Nothing. How do I know that? Nicodemus was the top religious person in all of Israel. And Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus said to him, you must be born again. You know what he said? Nicodemus, your religion is worthless. It's worthless. Only faith in Jesus Christ, you must be born again, Nicodemus. That's what the new birth is all about. It's also about the birth of Jesus Christ. This whole concept of Christmas gives us the greatest opportunity of the year to tell people about Jesus Christ. Give them the gift of eternal life. How do you do that? By sharing the gospel with them, by taking gospel literature. We must be born again. Parents won't do it, baptism won't do it, church won't do it, good works, none of these things. It has to be through the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's also this matter of another birth or another promise. And that's that Jesus will come again. I was just an absolute drunkard. My marriage was on the rocks. I was a wicked man, scared to death. But then Jesus came. You can take Jesus to their door. You can bring the only thing that will help them in their life. Not money, not help, but Jesus. That's the only thing that will help them. And he gave me eternal life, the peace that passeth all understanding. He gave me a purpose, a reason for living. You know what that purpose is? Telling people about Jesus Christ. I hear of these people dying and Sally's, our daughter-in-law's families dying. It makes me feel older. But it makes me realize I don't have that much more time. And I see the guy down the street, Oed, lost, and he's almost on his last leg. The guy across the street that I try to witness to all the time, and he's lost his leg, and he told me that just last week. He said, they're going to have to take on another 6 inches off my leg. And it's just eating his way until it kills him. They've got to hear the gospel before it's too late. Heard about a young man about 40 years of age. To me, he's old, amen. Walked into a business, just doing regular business. Keels over, graveyard dead. Don't make any difference how old you are, how young you are. And every time I hear that, I wonder. Now, I knew Dan. I knew Dan was saved. But this guy, the first thing goes through my mind, I wonder if he was saved. I wonder if when he died, he went to heaven or if he went to hell. Look at your family members. Look at your friends, your neighbors. And this year, give them the greatest gift you could ever give. And that's the gospel. Take Jesus to them, because when Jesus comes, he changes hearts, he changes lives, he gives eternal life. And it's all about this birth, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming again, the second coming. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He wants us to be with him. He wants these people to be with him. But if we don't tell them, the Catholic Church isn't going to tell them. The Mormon Church isn't going to tell them. Jehovah's Witness, they're not going to tell them. They're going to tell them other things. But we have the truth. And we must take the gospel to them. It's all about the birth of Jesus Christ. Father, without people receiving Christ, your Son, into their heart, they cannot go to heaven. If they trust anything else for salvation, then Jesus coming was for nothing. Christmas, celebrating Christmas, is not going to get anybody into heaven. But Lord, if we could take the gospel to people this year, just make a list of people that we need to witness to and take the gospel to, and then be faithful to pray for them, give them that gospel, And Lord, tell them about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. Lord, have your way in each one of our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.